You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, welcome everybody to tonight's live broadcast of TPC, the Saturday evening, June the 19th. It is great to be with you. And I'm looking forward to, I say that every week, don't I? And for good reason, but I am looking forward to tonight's show. It's going to be a little bit more laid back and relaxed, I think. A true summer porch talk type of show. Normally, I mean, the way it's been shaping up this year, and it's been such a great year of broadcasting for us, but we have come in here every night, it seems, with more than we can chew through in the 3 hours, and we're rushing to cram. Well, that's good to have an overflow of content, and that's certainly a good problem to have. We have featured so many incredible guests. Tonight's going to be a little more slower paced. Just wanted to give your humble hosting staff, and perhaps you as the audience as well, a little bit of time to catch your breath and just enjoy a laid-back summer show. I mean, we're still going to be talking about hot topics and important things, just taking our time to do so a little bit more at pace. Joining us this evening to help us shoulder the load will be Ramsey Paul. He's always a favorite of ours, the popular live stream commentator, Paul Ramsey Paul. Ramsey, that's a guest you have on when you want to have a night like this, because Paul is offers good takes on just about any issue. There's not a signature issue necessarily that you bring him on to talk about. He can just be a utility guy, a plug-in type of spark that can join in and fall in with anything. So we're going to bring him on in the second hour to add a third voice to the discussion this evening. But before we do that, let's get Keith all saddled up and ready to go. Keith, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm just like you. I think this is Juneteenth, for better or worse.
And when it is, I totally forgot. And you know, we had Jesse Lee Peterson on last week. Jesse Lee Peterson had a great time with Jesse, of course. Said he will never support that fake holiday. I saw him tweet that out a couple of days ago. And it is actually today. You forget that Juneteenth is actually June 19th, and that is purportedly the day when the blacks in the South found out that they were actually freed. The benighted Union soldiers found a group of former slaves in Texas and supposedly told them on June 19th of 1865 that they had been freed, or that the war was over or something. And just in the last couple of years, they figured it out that it was a holiday, though. and in our own Congress now passing this as a holiday. What a joke. No bigger joke than Martin Luther King Day, though.
Well, our Congress falls all over itself to try to honor black people and to dishonor white people. Historical figures, historical events, everything white is bad, everything black is good. Now, I don't want to pour water on the parade of Juneteenth, but I will anyway. When was the 13th Amendment actually ratified by the U.S. Congress? That is when they officially became free, when the former slaves became free. Was it before or after June the 19th? I haven't had a chance to look at that, but I...
No. Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with it. What I read in an article this week was June 19th was the day, June 19th, 1865, were the days that the slaves found out in Texas that they were free by Union soldiers.
Well, I think what they found out was that the Confederacy had surrendered or something like that. But, you know, again, don't let the truth get in the way of a good favor.
Well, no matter what it is.
It's like in Memphis, for example, we have this so-called tourist attraction that is called Slave Haven, which supposedly was a stop on the Underground Railroad. You know, and I remember back from the days of the Civil Rights Movement, all the groups like Peter, Paul, and Mary were singing, "Follow the drinking gourd being the Milky Way or the Big Dipper, following that muddy road to freedom." Well, they thought they'd found an actual stop on the Underground Railroad here in Memphis. It was a house owned by the Burkles, which were some German Jewish immigrants. And in the basement, they basically had some rows of benches. And there was a door. And this place was fairly near the river. So, you know, it had all the makings of a great find. Unfortunately, they researched it and found out that that particular house wasn't built until the 1870s. So I don't think they had much of a underground railroad going up the river for freed slaves. If the freed slaves were freed on Juneteenth or later in 1865 by the ratification of the 13th Amendment, there wasn't really much left of people being enslaved, I'm sure, by the early 1870s, which is when that house was built. But, you know, again, the left never lets the truth get in the way of a good fable. So what they do now, they take almost every school-age child in Memphis, either in private or public schools, through that place every year at the cost of $11 a head, and they tell them this feel-good hogwash, basically, about the significance of that house. And, you know, I'm sure that the Burkles may have been supporters of black rights back then. But on the other hand, there was no Underground Railroad operating in the 1870s. it's just so ridiculous. But it's a lucrative thing. You know, somebody is making money off of that. And I guarantee you, the taxpayers for the public school students are paying for all of these kids to go through there, and the Civil Rights Museum.
The two
big premier attractions for the left in Memphis are the Civil Rights Museum and Slave Haven. Of course, the only real tourist attraction we have in Memphis is Graceland and Elvis Presley events. Those are the only ones that are, you know, normal and natural and just developed. They've tried to manufacture Beale Street into a tourist attraction, and Slave Haven and the Civil Rights Museum. But guess what? They're all phony, tourist attractions in that, you know, they really, you know, something that is spontaneous and just comes up, that like Graceland and the adoration of Elvis Presley, that's a different matter. But, you know, they've got to try to manufacture tourist attractions. Another thing is the pyramid in Memphis, which was
now it's a Bass Pro Shop. It used to be a multi-purpose arena. It was shaped like a pyramid.
And we had a Jewish guy from out of town named Sidney Slinker that came in like the music man and sold everybody, oh, you know, because you're Memphis, you need a pyramid, and if you build it, they will come. Well, guess what? They built it, and they didn't come.
It was
a white elephant, so they basically had to find some tenant for it, and they eventually persuaded Bass Pro Shop and making it into a special hotshot razzle dazzle Bass Pro Shop. But on the other hand, another attempt to manufacture a tourist attraction that failed.
Well, the thing is with Slave Haven and the Civil Rights Museum, it's not for propaganda purposes, because not a lot of people come to those places, and because not a lot of people go, it's not for profit either. What I think it is, there was a good article about what's going on in Germany. They have all of these monuments to people who were supposedly mistreated by the majority population, just as a psychological tool to further dispossess weak-minded whites. That's what they're for. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and wind up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Western man has no plan since he became complacent. Stop believing in himself. Let others steal his rewards while he was dreaming. While he was dreaming, others were scheming, doing deals behind his back. Now Western man is adrift and under attack. What happened in between? Now there's no other bite of the cherry unless he's prepared to fight. Start on a new path of freedom, new path.
I gotta say wow to that. Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard, and we made mention of it a few weeks ago when David Duke was on the show, that Van Morrison, this iconic rock star from the 1960s, I think everybody in the world has heard Brown Eyed Girl. Van Morrison came out with this new album called The Latest Record Project. And in it, he was being excoriated for having these so-called nefarious themes. And I was thinking, okay, well, they're calling him a racist. They're going to look at... Look, I mean, he's not a racist. He's telling the truth. He's not a racist. We're not a racist. We, whatever you want to call us. I mean, I am what I am, as Popeye said.
But Popeye says it too.
But look, this is a truly in-your-face, brutally honest album. I want to thank Stan in Idaho, longtime TPC friend and listener and supporter. Stan in Idaho actually bought the CD for yours truly and Keith and mailed it down to us, and we're playing it here in the studio. So you just heard just one of the tracks from this album. It's entitled Western Man, and if you probably haven't heard the song or even a piece of it until we just played it for you just there.
They're not going to be playing that on the top 40 radio stations. Believe me, the left is in charge of all of that.
Well, let me read the opening
so you
lyrics
won't hear
again.
It except possibly if you buy it or if you tune into the political session.
Well, we're going to play a few more tracks from it throughout the night, but this is how this song begins, Western Man. Western Man, here are the lyrics. Western Man has no plan because he became complacent, stopped believing in himself, let others steal his rewards while he was dreaming. While he was dreaming, others were scheming, doing deals behind his back. Now Western Man is adrift and under attack. What happened in between? Now there's no other bite of the cherry unless he's prepared to fight. Start on a new path to freedom, New Path to Freedom, and then the song continues. That's Van Morrison. I mean, this isn't just some garage band that's putting out a CD on a disc from Walmart and making it in their home. This is Van Morrison, one of the iconic rock stars of the 60s. And listen, that is hardly the only song that falls in line with a healthy way of thinking. That was Western Man. Here are just some other titles from this album, Keith. They Own the Media, Breaking the Spell. How about Where Have All the Rebels Gone? Why Are You on Facebook? Stop Bitching and Do Something. These are the names of the songs on this album. I tell you, I mean, this goes back to what we have been talking about. There is a great disconnect between people out there and their representation in the media. The media takes the smallest elements of our society, homosexuals, for instance, and over-amplifies them and hypes them up as if everyone in the world is a homosexual or an advocate of this
or transgender
degeneracy.
Person.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, in here, I mean, it's like Brad Griffin said in an article that we'll talk about just a moment ago, there is a huge rift between the people in America and the leadership at the institutional level. And that is, of course, represented by the fact that at least 75 million Americans voted for Donald Trump, but at least half the voting public, even if you believe the election results, voted for Donald Trump. What representation do they have in any of the institutions? None, but they are also at least half of the population. So there is a great foreboding and a great outpouring of energy that will at some point manifest itself. But in the meantime, it's nice to see these fissures and these fault lines begin to surface, and this particular compilation by Van Morrison is just one example of that.
Well, basically what we've been seeing over the last 70 years is an experiment in terror by the left to see how important media control really is. And they've proven that it is mighty important. For example, black people are 13 to 14% of the population. If you watch the media, you'd think they were 50% or more of America. You were talking about homosexuals. They're probably less than 5% at the very, and that's, you know, a generous estimate on the numbers. But again, you're now seeing commercials featuring homosexual couples. I saw one the other day with a pair of women that, you know, again, they're creating their own reality. Then they really push the envelope with transgendered people. Now, what percentage of 1% of people in America are transgendered? But again, their rights, their issues, their advocacy is more important than over 50% of the American public. And I would say it's probably more like 60% or even approaching 70% that have some type of sympathy for the outlook that we represent on this show. But we don't have the microphone. We don't have the megaphones. And when somebody like Van Morrison or Mel Gibson or Charlton Heston or John Voight comes out and dares to express conservative viewpoints in their art, well, you know that they're going to be the next person cast into the outer darkness. This is what the left is doing. They're basically telling us that we control the microphones, we control the media, we control the radio stations, we control the television stations, we control the internet, we control social media, and we're going to make our own reality, which is totally at odds with the reality that most people live in, and also the viewpoint of most people in America and in the West. Now, Eastern Europe, thankfully, is a little backwards, and they haven't gotten up to this wonderful point of development, and I'm saying that all tongue-in-cheek. They're really what we need to be. And that's what is, you know, that's why this thing with Vladimir Putin and Biden, I think, is so significant. We'll talk about that later this evening. But just think about what it would be like to live in a community or in a nation that is not blessed with diversity, where you actually have a media that represents the tastes and the ethics and the morals of the majority of the population. We haven't had that here in 70 years.
Well, and we haven't had it in even in our churches in quite a long time. And so, of course, last week we spent the second hour, a full hour, talking about some positive trends within the Southern Baptist Convention, the dismissal of Russell Moore and Beth Moore, no relation. They did have their annual meeting this week, and I don't want to spend a lot more time on that because it is esoteric. I realize not everybody in this audience is a Southern Baptist. Not everybody in this audience is even a Christian. But we talked last week about why it was important and why it is personal for us, especially for me, but why it's important in the broader scheme of things as well. And so because we set the table last week in advance of their meeting, we'll spend a little bit of time this hour when we come back telling you what happened in Nashville when they all got together. It was the biggest meeting of the Southern Baptist in many, many, many years. We'll tell you all about it, and then we'll get off that. I'm going to play more music from this Van Morrison thing because I think this is actually significant. And I was going to play it in the next segment, but I think I'm going to save it for when Randy Paul is with us in the next hour. I'm going to replay a track from Western Man and then play some of these other new songs that Van Morrison has come out with. And again, thanks to Stan up in Idaho for sending us. What a nice
Van the Man. Van the Man Morrison, they called him. And now Stan is Van's man.
And our man. All right, we'll be back. Still more to come this hour. Ramsey Paul in the second hour, third hour. God only knows, but it's going to be good.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden and Russian leader Vladimir Putin are meeting today in Geneva, Switzerland, a story we will keep you updated on throughout the day. A federal judge in Louisiana issued a preliminary injunction blocking the Biden administration from pausing new oil and gas leases on federal lands. Judge Terry Doty of the U.S. District Court in Monroe, Louisiana, said the administration does not have the legal right to stop leasing federal territory for oil and gas production without approval from Congress. The Southern Baptist Convention, its largest meeting in decades on Tuesday, elected a new president who has worked to bridge racial divides in the church and defeating an effort to make an issue of critical race theory. More than 15,000 delegates in attendance picked their next leader as Ed Litton, a pastor from Alabama. This is USA Radio News.
I'm hungry. What's to eat?
Beans again.
Did somebody say hungry? Pistol Pete's Jerky at PistolPete'sJerky.com. A herd of delicious flavors. Break Bronco busting hunger. Lasso up your order at PistolPete'sJerky.com.
Thanks, Pistol Pete.
I made it myself. PistolPete'sJerky.com. Tell them Pete sent you.
PistolPete'sJerky.com is the official beef jerky of the Chosen Generation Radio Show. When you place your order, you'll receive two free U.S. Constitutions and a U.S. flag sticker. One Constitution for you to read cover to cover and the second to pass on to your friends, family, or loved ones. Go to PistolPete'sJerky.com and use discount code CGR to get an additional 10% off. PistolPete'sJerky.com and place your order today.
Although Major League Baseball confirmed cheating by the Houston Astros the year they won the World Series and were allowed to keep the championship, rules at Major League Baseball are taken with a grain of salt. This week, new rules at MLB go into effect. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Major League Baseball will start suspending players for using foreign substances to doctor the baseball. The league announced it will crack down on pitchers who use any substances to enhance their grip, from pine tar to spider tack. New guidelines will give umpires the power to check pitchers for foreign substances at their discretion. Violators will be tossed from the game in which they're caught and hit with a 10-game suspension. The move comes after MLB looked into a number of complaints and found what it called a prevalence of foreign substance use by pitchers throughout the league.
The Senate on Tuesday has unanimously passed legislation establishing Juneteenth, June 19th, as a federal holiday. The passage happened after Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson dropped his objections to the measure. Juneteenth is a holiday celebrating the Emancipation Proclamation. USA Radio News.
It's much too groovy a summer's day to waste running round in the city. But here on the sand, I can dream away. Or look at the girls if they're pretty. It's a turn-down day. Nothing on my mind. It's a turn-down day, and I dig it. There's nothing easier I can do than lying around doing nothing. It's a turn-down day, just a turn-around day. It's a turn-down day, and I dig it.
What's great to be with you, ladies and gentlemen, on a turn down day, or a good day, a hard day, or any day. Welcome back. It's a sort of a turn down show.
A turn down show. You know, we've got nothing in particular, no particular axe to grind. What we're doing is just taking it easy, enjoying ourselves, and talking about events of the day as they occur to us.
Yeah, that cord was going out. We'll switch that out in the next break. But that was actually, you know, by design tonight. I told Keith, called Keith yesterday, and I said, you know, we're just going to go in to the show tomorrow night, and we're just going to free wing it. And I think from time to time it's good, because that puts puts your creative juices to the test, and it just lets things flow naturally. And I love a structured show. I mean, I am a OCD perfectionist type of guy, so I love planning out the segments and the guests and all that. But I even told Ramsey Paul, I said, Ram, you know, we're going to have you on, Paul, and we're just going to see where it goes. So that's the kind of show it is tonight, just mixing it up a little bit. You know, you mix it up just one night here on the calendar. And what a calendar it has been. You know, I've been looking back on the guests, Jesse Lee Peterson last week, USS Liberty Survivors the week before that, Kevin McDonald, Jared Taylor, Sam Dixon, Brad Griffin, Lauren Witzke, Mark Collett, Roger Devlin, Greg Johnson. And then that takes us back to the Confederate History Month series, and before that, our March Around the World. It has been a fantastic year of broadcasting already on TPC, and we're only halfway through it. Well, let's get down to what the Southern Baptists did. Let's go ahead, and since we talked about it so much last week, we'll tell you the rest of the story. They did take a further leftward turn. But it was interesting. There were four candidates for the presidency of the SBC, and one was a legitimate conservative. Now, he was described in the media as being a divisive candidate. You're divisive if you actually adhere to the faith of the Southern Baptists of not yesteryear, but just of a few years ago. And he was a conservative that pushed back on critical race theory, and he won in the first round of balloting. He beat the three liberal candidates, but he didn't get 50% plus one, so he went into a runoff against the second highest vote getter, and then, of course, all the liberal votes coalesced, and he ended up losing 52% to 48%. Now, that's encouraging, because that's a damn near even split between people who are pushing back against Black liberation theology, pushing back against critical race theory. Now, he did lose, but it wasn't nearly the mandate that I'm sure that the leftists wanted. So I watched it. I watched as much as I could stomach. I watched about 8 hours of it, if you can believe it. And aside from that presidential election, there was no shortage of cuckoldry on display. And I'm talking, of course, about racial cuckoldry. And I think that's an appropriate term to use for these cuck Christians. There are 50,000 Southern Baptist churches around the world. They have 14 million members. Of those 14 million, about 4 million show up to any given church service. It is overwhelmingly white. And I watched person after person go up, because, of course, again, there is a great disconnect between the people in the Southern Baptist churches, not the people that were at that convention. I realize they lost the vote 52% to 48%. But most people, my pastor always said, because in the Southern Baptist Church, the church is the headquarters and the denominational headquarters is just window dressing. The denominational head table has no effect over the local church. Most people in the local Southern Baptist churches, which range, they're normally small churches ranging between 100 and 150 members. They don't have any idea about these window dressing, as my pastor put it, resolutions, these virtue signaling resolutions. They are good people. The people who actually go to these events, not so much. But I watched the head table trot out cuck after cuck who went. They would give these reports saying, 4 years ago, there were this many white churches, and today, look at how much it's declined. And everybody starts cheering. I mean, what kind of sick people would do this? And then you had people that would come up and say, I want to vote to rescind a resolution that mentioned the word Negro in 1845. I mean, what kind of... going back and receiving, they went through and poured over the minutes of meetings from 150 years ago, and if they found a word they didn't like, they would try to strike that from the official record as if that history never happened. Those Christians were better Christians than them, but yet the bottom line is you do have this another radical leftist. They kept saying during the meeting, Keith, the world is watching. The world is watching. We have to make the right decisions. Well, they made the decisions that would be pleasing to the world, and they fear the world more than they fear God. And I give applaud to the nominal conservative resistance. I'm sure that even the conservatives there would have denounced us and all of that good stuff. But, it's interesting, but there is a disconnect. And it is okay to be white. It's okay to love your people and your flag. It's okay to be proud of the way God made you. It's okay to revere the Confederate flag, which is, of course, a Christian flag. But they do fear the world's wrath more than the Lord's. And it's the whites, though, Keith, that always have to sacrifice. After they voted in the most left-wing of the candidates, after they narrowly passed more resolutions that were harmful to the traditional faith, after they passed more resolutions that would affirm critical race theory, they said, now we all have to come together and unify now. We can't have these stumbling blocks getting in the way of our witness. Well, when it comes time for unification, it's always the whites that have to swallow it. We have to remove the Confederate flag as a stumbling block to our brothers and sisters of color. And the new president said, we have so much we can learn from our black brothers in Christ. Well, what about Martin Luther King? He's a stumbling block for me, a man who wasn't a Christian at all. He didn't believe in the divinity of Christ. He was a communist. You know, let's tear down that idol for the sake of reconciliation. But it never quite goes both ways, does it, Keith?
No, and they're right to say that the world is watching. Basically, the Bible tells you you're either of the world or you're of Christ, and that if you are of Christ, the world will persecute you. So the church is on the wrong side of this equation, the organized church. And guess what? People don't long hang around in places where they're not wanted. And obviously, white communicants, white members, are not really welcome in today's Southern Baptist Church. Luckily, in the Southern Baptist denomination, the particular churches are freestanding, independent. They own their own land and stuff like this. They're not part of a hierarchy like the Episcopalians or the Roman Catholics or the Eastern Orthodox. So they can take their kit and caboodle and go. And I would suggest that more and more former Southern Baptist churches, I think they're even trying now to drop the adjective Southern from their name. Yeah. What they need to do is say, we're going to be the old Southern Baptist Church, and we're going to move out. We're going to have our own denomination, or we'll just be another non-denominational church. But this is what you need to do. You need to let these people know that there's a price for affronting people. And it gets back to exactly what we were saying last week. Their sin is covetousness. God has given them a white flock to preside over, but they covet a black flock and they want them. The black flock doesn't want them. Blacks have their own churches, thank you, and they don't really want to join the Southern Baptist denomination. Who would? Who would want to join a church where the leadership hates the flock and they're asking you to be part of the flock? So this is why. This is something that's happened in every Protestant denomination. It's happened in the Roman Catholic Church. I don't think it's happened in the Eastern Orthodox Church yet. Hopefully they'll hold the lines, just like Eastern Europe is so much healthier in terms of its culture than Western Europe. Likewise, the Eastern Orthodox Church is in better shape than the Roman Catholics or the mainline Protestants or now even the fundamentalist Protestants.
Well, And Brad Griffin put up an article about this. Of course, we wrote an article about the downfall of Russell Moore last week. Brad Griffin put up an article, Southern Baptists narrowly vote to stay cucked. I do take a little silver lining in the fact that it was as close as 52-48% in the runoff. The real story here is the growing disconnect between elites and the people they represent, which is true across all institutions. So there is a great schism here. It would have been nice if the more conservative, and again, by saying he was more conservative doesn't mean he was anywhere near what he needed to be, but he's better than what they
well,
got.
What people need to but do is get the heck out of say. That, you know, get out of that synagogue of Satan that they are turning the Southern Baptist Church into, because it doesn't matter if they won by one vote. It's just like Trump's loss. You would have thought that there had been this great landslide in favor of Joe
well,
Biden.
You know,
likewise, in the Southern Baptist Convention, they're going to treat it as if we're in control and you people can go pound sand.
If the Washington Post is happy in your decision, you didn't do it right.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
I should have known you did. Yeah, the worst is over now. The morning sun is shining like your bedrock
going to get back to Van Morrison's new album with the Ramsey Paul in the second hour, but Keith got me turned on to The Circle. Now, I've always liked those two songs, Turn Down Day and Red Rubber Ball, but that's The Circle, and that is C-Y-R-K-L-E, if you want to know the spelling.
Only American band that was managed by Brian Epstein, who, of course, was a manager of the Beatles. Now, that last song sounds like the members of the Southern Baptist Church bidding adieu to the Southern Baptist denomination. Why do you want to be in a church that, one, hates you, and two, that you have to constantly apologize for to your friends, neighbors, and children?
It's like being in this nation that hates you. It only hates you from the head table. Most of the people in the Southern Baptist Convention believe exactly like we do, and they came within 2 percentage points of taking it.
I know, but on the other hand, you hide and watch it the way that the Southern Baptist leadership governs. You would think that the Southern Baptists had spoken with one voice in favor of every crazy left-wing lunatic initiative you can imagine. And the difference between being a member of the nation and being a member of the church is you have to pay taxes. You're required by law to do that. You're not required to tithe to a particular denomination. You can leave. You can let your fingers do the walking. Find a good church, or maybe your church needs to consider peeling off from the Southern Baptist denomination.
The only problem is, though, you're leaving so much treasure. If you just leave, then they get everything that we built.
Well, that's why I'm saying the whole church. See, Bellevue Baptist could say, we're leaving the Southern Baptist denomination. And they would have all of their property and everything else. That's the beauty of fundamentalism, that you don't have this hierarchy. You don't call the guy that presides the father. You call him brother.
Like, that's right. I mean, that's true.
So
but
it's egalitarian, and every church is freestanding because they knew where hierarchy led. And as a result, they could really put a dent in these people, all these people in denominational headquarters would be all dressed up and no place to go.
Well, and that's true, and that's why I say most people who are Southern Baptists think like us. They have no idea of any of this that we're talking about. We're just reporting on it from the perspective of a political meeting. But
your money is flowing to denominational headquarters to support critical race theory and all these other cockamamie notions.
And here's another thing about it. So it was obviously started by white Southerners, hence the name. And who would go on to support the Confederacy, and for good reason. And that was another thing that the president said this week, that we admit our sinful past and the sin of racism. Now, once again, you're putting things into scripture that aren't there. What the Confederates were not sinners. They were better Christians than anybody that was in that meeting this week, I can tell you. But here's the thing. They said, but the gospel corrected us and we learned the error of our ways. No, that's not what happened. What happened was political correctness tucked you into virtue signaling your way entirely out of any influence over Christians in this country.
Liberalism is apparently supposed to be the correct viewpoint that the Bible is trying to express, and nothing could be further from the truth. Liberalism is the modern face of evil. Liberalism does not mix with Christianity. Liberal Christianity is an oxymoron, like holy sin. You cannot be liberal and a Christian, because look at what liberalism has supported. It supported integration of the public schools and the decline of public education. It has supported abortion. It supported gay rights. It supported just about everything.
Well, that's all
you
coming
can imagine
to the Southern Baptist Convention as well.
Yeah. And see, that's liberalism. How can liberalism square itself with the Word of God?
And here's another thing.
Consult the Word of God on all of those topics and see what you find.
When they were saying how great it was that whites are losing power and it's becoming more diverse, I mean, all of these blacks were ready to leave if the vote didn't go their way. And these are white-hating blacks. I mean, believe me.
One out of 1,000 people in the denomination are black.
But, you know, it's like Sam Dixon told me years and years ago, every single day across the Western world, if you consider church groups and optimist clubs and PTAs and Kiwanis and you name it, there are literally thousands of white groups every day, white meetings every day that take place, in which the sole focus of their meeting is to wring their hands and consider what more they can do to help non-whites. And across the world on any given day, there is not one meeting of non-whites where they wonder what they can do to help white people who have done so much for them. And that's the thing about this, Keith. Again, when it comes to unification and reconciliation, it's always whites having to make the concessions and the sacrifices. Never is that returned in kind. And believe you me, these people hate you. The cucked out white leadership hates you. They hate themselves. And certainly these black liberation, what small percentage that there are in the Southern Baptist Convention, it's true, I guess, that the Anglo baptisms, I mean, the membership of the Southern Baptist Convention has been declining for two decades and for good reason.
It's because of liberalism.
But the thing is, though, out of the 17,000 delegates or messengers, as they call themselves, I would say 16,500 were white.
Well, let me say this, too. You gave Sam Dixon credit for that particular quote. I think the first time I ever heard it was on our show by Winston Smith, who is still affiliated with us. And it's so true. You know, in the globe, at any moment of any day, there are thousands of white groups meeting, wringing their hands, thinking about what they can do to improve the lives of non-whites. Meanwhile, there is no black group wringing its hands, thinking about what they can do to improve the lot of
no black Christians, no, you know, white Christians. I mean, we saw it at the Southern Baptist Convention. They passed about 8 resolutions denouncing racism, which adds to the handful they pass annually. Total clown show with regard to that. But never has a black Christian said, "What can I do to facilitate your accommodation, my white brother?" You know, and they get up there. Well, we have so much we can learn from our non-white brothers. I mean, what? I'd like to know. But here's the thing, though. They kept wondering why baptisms and membership are declining. I can tell you, and I'll tell you in no uncertain terms, the Southern Baptist Convention and all evangelical churches are dying because they alienate men who are the natural spiritual leaders of families. How are they alienating men? The church today, I'm changing out this mic, I swear to you. The church today, with its cucking on race, feminism, and immigration, demands that the saving grace of Christ comes attached at the hip with this sick suicide cult of feminized leaders like the ones offered up by the church in recent years. Russell Moore, Steve Gaines, J.D. Greer, now Ed Litton is the new president. Does this even qualify as gospel when any sane person has to reject this suicidal package offered by the modern church? Dabney said as much back in his day, and his point was that any reasonable person would reject such ridiculous practice of religion out of hand, meaning that the very best people will be alienated from Christianity. And that's what you've got. If you've got this sick version of religion that places white guilt and feminism and immigration at its forefront, it's going to alienate the strong men of our society from the faith. So we can only hope that there must be some extraordinary measure of grace at work today for the reasonable unbeliever, the disproportionately non-religious conservative white who supports Trump, for instance. They can't but look at the church and gag. And I told Sam Bushman today that if I hadn't had the privilege of being born into a Christian household, if I had inquired upon the faith as an adult, I would just look at the church and gag. Just as the political establishment has to be destroyed, so too must the Christian religious establishment. So we await this charismatic and forceful advocate of the traditional faith who's going to drive these cucks out of the pulpits. And in the meantime, the faith will still go on. It is still the faith. It is still the Word of God. But the way society is interpreting it has infected the Southern Baptist, and they've got a problem. But it was a close vote, and it does go to show, too, what Brad Griffin said. There is a cultural divide within the Southern Baptist, evidenced by this 52-48% vote. And we discuss it all the time, and it is a huge divide amongst evangelicals between the elite evangelical academics and their base. And just because the vote was 52-48 doesn't mean that's indicative of what's going on in the local churches who have no idea what goes on at the conventional level.
Look, again, Christianity and liberalism are at odds. Liberalism was developed, modern liberalism, in the French Enlightenment. Its main spokesman was Voltaire, who used to sign his letters, La Race Infâme, erase the infamous thing, the church. What is abortion? You can at least get down with almost all fundamentalists on this issue. Was the abortion rights movement a liberal movement or a conservative movement? Well, it was obviously a liberal movement. Well, liberalism, in other words, you want more of that in your church, okay? Christians for abortion, I guess. This is so obvious, it's as plain as the nose on your face. people like Rousseau, the Jacobins in the French Revolution. These were revolutionaries who first and foremost hated Christ and hated his church. That was the primary focus of the French Enlightenment, to explain the world without reference to Christianity. So how in the world are you going to mesh those two things together? It's like trying to mix oil and water. Or as a Arkansas farmer told me one time, it's like mixing fecal matter and ice cream. It doesn't do anything for the ice cream, and it ruins the ice cream.
Well, if you have a college degree or a postgraduate degree, you are much more likely to have cucked views on race and care about respectability more than your own people and feel compelled to signal that you care about all of the other fashionable obsessions of your social class. And those are the people who now dominate our institutions, including the Southern Baptist Church. The messengers of the Southern Baptist Convention couldn't bring themselves to condemn critical race theory, but we know from the polls that this sentiment isn't shared by Southern Baptists at large, who are overwhelmingly against it.
Or most people that belong to any church.
All right, we'll be right back with Ramsey Paul, everybody. Stay tuned.
The political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
You know what?